together. Isaiah 56, we'll begin our reading in verse number 1. If you're a first-time visitor here at Kitchener Baptist Church, we're honored that you are a part of our service. If we can help you in any way, please let us know. There is a Bible. You should find a Bible in front of you. If you did not bring your Bible, we want you to follow along with the message this morning to know that this is what God has to say as we look to His Word in these days. Isaiah 56 and verse number 1 will be our reading. We'll read the Word of God, we'll make our prayer, and then we'll jump into our message. The Bible says, "Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice. For my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word, and I pray that you would help us as we look at these Bible truths this morning. I pray you would give us understanding and help us to make good decisions. I pray you would bind Satan and his demons. I pray your word would fall on good ground, and I pray that you'd be glorified and your word would be glorified in us. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. What an incredible journey that we have been on so far as we've been studying through the book of Isaiah. We're really learning the work of God's hand in our life each and every day. And God is promoting a message of trust. He wants his people to look to him. He wants his people to trust in him. And we see this in the life of Ahaz. We see this in the life of Hezekiah. God is at work in their life to build this trust that God can be trusted and that we can walk forward in his name. The message of the Bible is simply don't trust the world. The message of the Bible is don't even trust yourself. Lean not on your own understanding. But in all of your ways, acknowledge God and he will direct your paths. Now, sometimes on life's highway, we come to some very hard places. We have to learn some tough lessons. And yet God wants to get our attention. And this is really the message I want us to understand, is that God is trying to get our attention today. I heard the story of a married couple. They had been married for many years, and the wife's husband had turned into a couch potato. He didn't do much of anything in his life. I mean, the reality is he was completely inattentive to his wife and her needs, and he would just sit down on the couch and watch a football game or a hockey game. He's not going to watch the Leafs anymore, so that's over. But, I mean, he just didn't do anything. He played video games and didn't pay any attention to his wife. And the wife was dismayed because no matter what she did to try to get her husband's attention, nothing worked. Everything failed. And so this went on months and months, and, you know, that she was going crazy. She had to do something. And so one day she was at a pet store, and the wife saw this big, ugly, snorting bird. I mean, this was the ugliest bird you've ever seen. This bird had hairy forearms, bulgy eyes, dribble was running from the side of its mouth. And the shopkeeper was noticing that this woman was fascinated by this ugly bird. And he said, "Listen, this bird has been imported. This is a Goonie bird. And this has one particular trait that's fascinating." And he said, to demonstrate, he says, "Let me show you." He said, "Goonie bird the table." And all of a sudden, that bird, it flew off its perch with a single-minded fury of attack. And it smashed that table in 100 pieces and then went and landed on its perch. The woman was fascinated. Wow. Shopkeeper said, let me show you again. And he said, Goonie Bird the shelf. And that bird got off that perch and went over to that shelf and just destroyed it and went back and sat on his perch. The woman said, wow, I'll take it. That will get my husband's attention. If that doesn't get my husband's attention, then nothing will. And so she took that ugly bird home. As she walked into the door, the husband was playing video games and, again, didn't really spend much time paying attention to her, but he noticed through the corner of his eye that ugly bird. And he said to his wife, he said, what in the world is that? I hope you didn't pay any money for that. If you paid money for that bird, you got ripped off. And the wife said, no, this is a Goonie Bird. And he said, Goonie Bird, my arm. Not good, not good. Let's just say that got his attention, okay? That got his attention. God is looking for our attention today. And God wants us to look to him. Now, in Isaiah chapter 56, it's a passage of scripture of principle. The Bible speaks of those who come to the water and drink, and they are promised eternal life. And eternal life is a wonderful blessing, of course, to know that we're a child of God and that we have a home in heaven. But the Christian life is a principled life. There are sharp turns in the Christian life. There's some bumpy roads. There's choices that we make each and every day. And of course, the Bible doesn't give us direct commands for every possible situation that we face, but the Bible does give us principles to help us and to guide us on life's highway. And these principles are important. And as we look at this passage of scripture in Isaiah 56, God's people were discouraged. I mean, they are in exile. They are separated from their home. They are in bondage. They are a slave people. And as they looked at all of that God had to offer and all of the sacrifices and all of the things that God wanted them to obey in, they had become discouraged in those things. And they decided they're not going to serve the Lord anymore. They're not going to follow God anymore. And so God has principles in Isaiah 56 that not only apply to Judah, but also we can make application for our life today. And so let's jump into the message. Number one, would you consider this? There's the principle of drawing near. There's the principle of drawing near. The Bible says in Psalm 73, verse 28, it says, but it is good for me to draw near to God. I have put my trust in the Lord God that I may declare all my works. The Bible says it is good to draw near to God. In Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, it says to draw near to God with a true heart, to draw near to God with full assurance of faith. God wants us to come to him believing. God wants us to come to him with confidence, knowing that God can and God will. And God wants us to come to him being genuine, authentic. He wants us to be real. And he wants us to approach him with full assurance, knowing that God can make a difference in our life, that God will always keep his word. In James chapter 4 and verse 8, the Bible says to draw nigh to God, and God will draw nigh to us. The Bible teaches us that we are to trust God and to draw nigh to him in difficult times with assurance that God will help us and God will direct us. Now, in this passage of Scripture, we notice right away that there is a response by faith. The Bible says in this prophetic truth that God is directing this discouraged people who had slacked in their obedience, who had slacked in their righteousness. What is God saying? He's saying in Isaiah 56 to act. He's saying, step out by faith where you are. Even though the circumstances are not good, even though it doesn't look like it's a good situation, he's saying, step out by faith and trust the Lord and obey him today where you are. In the storms of life, God wants us to step out of the boat and trust him by faith. I think a great example of that, of course, is the life of Peter. Peter, you know, he walked on water. And the Bible says that, you know, he followed the Lord and walking on water. Now, I've never walked on water before. I have walked on ice, and that's kind of water, but not really the same. But my advice would be, if you're going to walk on water, I probably wouldn't do it during a storm. I would probably wait till it's calm. I probably wouldn't do it when the waves are contrary and the wind is contrary, and I would probably wait until, you know, the sun is shining and things are calm. And yet the Bible says that there was a great storm and Peter stepped out of the boat and he walked to the Lord Jesus. He walked on water. You say, yeah, but Peter sank. Did you ever walk on water? I mean, at least he stepped out of the boat, and at least he obeyed the Lord. And the Bible says in Matthew 14, verse 29, that Jesus said, come, and when Peter was come down out of the ship, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. Listen, Judah was in a bad place. There's no doubt about it. They were in exile. They were separated from their homeland. They were separated from all their rituals and all that they had and all that they embraced. And yet, the Bible says, God said, obey me where you are. Trust me where you are. Look to me where you are. He says in verse number 1, keep ye judgment and do justice. He says, act, live for me, do what is right, even in hard times, even in difficult times. You know, when bad circumstances come, it has a way of excelling us in the direction we're already heading. If someone is heading away from the Lord, then when a difficult time comes, it excels them in that direction. If someone is heading to the Lord, then it excels them in that direction. They embrace the Lord. They look to the Lord. And here in this passage of Scripture, God is saying, listen, don't wait until your circumstances are better to start serving me and start following me. He says, start following me today. Start looking to me today. It's like the Christian who says, Lord, I'll start giving when you bless my finances. Lord, I'll start serving you when my situation is better. Lord, I'll start serving you when I clean up my life a little bit. And the Bible says that God says, listen, obey me now. Trust me now. Keep my commandments now. We start giving knowing that God will bless. We start living knowing that God blesses obedience. We serve the Lord now, coming to him in honesty and in confession of sin, knowing that God blesses our obedience. This was the message that God had for Judah. He said, listen, act by faith. But not only act by faith, God blesses our obedience. Look what the Bible says in Isaiah 56, verse 2. It says, blessed is the man that doeth this. Isn't that interesting? Blessed is the man that doeth this. The son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. Draw nigh to God, and he will draw nigh to you. Take the first step. Act by faith, and God will honor that faith, and God will draw nigh to you. God blesses the one that doeth it. God blesses the one that steps out by faith and obeys the Lord. The Bible says it this way in James chapter 4, verse 17. Therefore, to him that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. There's two types of responses to God's work in our life. There's the one that doeth it, and there's the one that doeth it not. And normally the one that doeth it not, they have their reasons. We call these excuses. I think of what the Bible says in Proverbs 22, verse 13. It's like the lazy man that doesn't do anything, and he finds excuses for being lazy. He says, wait a minute, there's a lion in the street. And if I go out and I work, then I'm going to be devoured. Now, I think that's a pretty good excuse. If there was a lion in my backyard, I probably wouldn't mow the lawn that day. And I'm not lying. I mean, at the end of the day, it sounds like a good excuse. But the Bible is talking about the heart. The reality is that he doesn't want to do these things. He's making these excuses to justify his own actions so that he seems like he's right. And he's justifying himself so that it seems like God's okay with his actions. But God doesn't change his mind based on your circumstances. Truth is truth. Sin is always sin. And God's principle is to obey today without delay, to follow today without delay, to take the first step to the Lord, and he will reward that with a step of his own. And we are to believe him by faith and trust that God can. And as we do this, God blesses obedience. As we step out of the boat by faith and trust him, God will meet you where you are. You say, well, Pastor Burns, I'll obey God when things get better. I'll obey God when my finances are better. I'll obey God when things look better for me. And God says, no, you step out of the boat today and trust God, and I'll meet you there. And I'll help you where you are. And I'll give you grace to take another step. Listen, Judah was discouraged. And I'm not making light of their circumstance. It wasn't a good place to be in. To be in exile, you know, to be separated from their family and their home, their circumstances weren't their best. And their attitude was, why should I follow God? Why should I follow his laws? Why should I obey him? And God's message is to do right no matter where you are. And I'll bless you. And I'll be there to help you. I see, first of all, there's this principle, important principle, of trusting the Lord in the circumstances of your life. But secondly, would you write this down? There's also the principle of following truth. There's the principle of following truth. I find how interesting it is for our world to quickly put people into categories. And we do this without even thinking about it. You know, in our world today, there's the rich and the poor. People are broken into categories based on social status, based on their influence. I'm glad that God doesn't do that. I'm glad that the Bible says that God is no respecter of persons. The Bible says that one day the small and the great will stand before God. Those with great influence and those with no influence at all will all stand before Almighty God. I'm glad today that the ground is level at the cross. And those who come to Jesus receive the same Holy Spirit. Those who come to Jesus receive the same salvation. We are all a part of the family of God. And this isn't based on how much money we have, or it's not based on our influence or our background or our nationality, that we can come to the Lord Jesus and we can become children of the Most High God. And that's a wonderful blessing, to know that we are accepted where we are. And yet there are times in our life where we place ourselves in various categories. There are times in our life where how we feel determines in our mind what is true. And the Bible speaks against this. And we have to be careful of this. And this was happening in Judah. Look what the Bible says in verse number three of our text. It says, neither let the son of the stranger that had joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant. Even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place, and a name better than the sons and of the daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that have joined themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord, to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant. You know, oftentimes we believe based on how we feel. And our feelings become a compass in directing us and making decisions. Because I did these things in my life, I just feel that I can't be used of God. Because, you know, because I had this background, that God can't bless me. Because I'm going through a trial today, I just feel like God has forsaken me. I just feel like God has forgotten me. That's what the psalmist said. He felt so far from God because of the troubles in his life. Because I'm older, I just feel like God's done with me. Because I'm younger, I just feel like God can't use me until I'm older. Because I've made many mistakes in my life, I just feel like God can't bless me. In our text, we find examples of this very thing. The strangers or foreigners were saying that God was separated from them. They felt that because they were not a part of Israel, that they were Gentiles who had come to the Lord. They had come to God. They had taken a part of that living water. And yet they just felt that because they were not a part of Israel, that they weren't near to the Lord, that God had separated himself from him. The Apostle Paul, writing to the Gentile people in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 12, speaks of that very condition before they came to Christ. He said that at that time ye were without Christ, being aliens from the commonwealth of Israel and strangers from the covenants of promise, having no hope and without God in this world. And yet these strangers or foreigners, they had come to God. They had approached God by faith, and yet they just felt separated from God. They felt like God wasn't near them. Have you ever felt like that? Have you ever felt that God maybe has forsaken you? Maybe you felt alone. Maybe you felt that God doesn't care about you. Why would you go through these troubles if God loved you and cared about you? But notice what the Bible says is the truth in this circumstance. The Bible says in verse number 6, those that serve the Lord, that come to God in faith, verse 7, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in the house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices, look at this, shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer, I love this, for all people. Isn't that wonderful? That in Jesus Christ, we are accepted by God. And it doesn't matter how we feel. What's important is, what does God say? What is the truth? The Bible says the eunuchs, because they could have no children, said that they had no purpose in society's eyes. They said, we're just a dry tree. We can't be used in this world. These were eunuchs not by choice, by the way. They were prisoners and forced into this very position of life. And God has a message for them. God says, don't say these things because they are not true. Someone said this, unbelief many times suggests things to the discouragement of good people which are directly contrary to what God himself has said, things which he hath expressly guarded against. And when we are at our lowest, when we are discouraged in this world, then the devil is there to whisper in our ear and to tell us, you're no good. God can't use you. God doesn't care about you. That's why Peter said, he said, listen, casting all of your care upon him because he cares about you. But then he said, but be vigilant because your adversary, the devil, is a roaring lion. He's walking about seeking whom he may devour. The devil is there to try to destroy us, to convince us that God doesn't love us. But the Bible says that God does. He cares about us. You know, listen, feelings are God-given. And God gave us feelings for a purpose. They are expressions of our heart. And The Bible speaks of our heart as the seat of emotions. But listen, our heart is not an accurate compass for directing our life. Someone will say to you, well, just follow your heart. Don't follow your heart. That's terrible advice. The heart is deceitful and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Your heart is not a good compass. Your emotions change every single day. Your emotions probably changed about 20 times before I started the sermon. I mean, they're always changing here and there and here and there. And if you allow your emotions and your feelings to direct your life, then who knows where you'll end up? The reality is, the Bible says to cast down these imaginations. In 2 Corinthians chapter 10, and verse number 5. Imaginations are things that you believe to be true but are not. And Paul says, cast them down. Cast those things that are against the very teachings of Jesus Christ. How many times people say, well, I just don't feel loved? And it's probably after a time when someone tells them the truth because they love them. And their emotions say, well, I just don't feel loved. How many times have someone said, well, I just don't feel accepted? And they allow their emotions to direct their life. Well, I just don't feel saved. I just feel like God can't use me. I just feel like God has left me. I just feel like God has forsaken me. Listen, you never go from feelings to truth. Just because you feel a certain way does not make it true. You always go from truth to feeling. I believe God no matter how I feel. His word is my solid rock, and I will trust in him. I want you to turn with me to 1 John chapter 3. Would you turn there, 1 John chapter 3? And notice what the Apostle John had to say, 1 John chapter 3 and verse number 20. First John chapter 3, verse 20, the Bible says this, for if our heart condemn us, look at that, for if our heart condemn us, that's our feelings, our emotions, God is greater than our heart, and he knoweth all things. Our feelings are not a proper guide for life. The Bible says in verse number 5, no matter how you feel, God's word is truth. And you can always trust in the word of God. The word of God is a compass for our life. And so when feelings come among us, then we have to say, what does God's word say? What does the Bible say? The Bible says that we're loved. The Bible says we're important to God. The Bible says we are the apple of his eye. The Bible says that we are to trust in the Lord. In verse 8, the Lord God hath gathered the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him beside these that are gathered unto him. You know, listen, we are all outcasts. We are all unworthy. And I'm glad today that God gathers us together, that we are in his fold, and God allows us, he allows us to be a part of his family. And it's not based on how we feel, it's based on truth, the word of God. Thirdly, and I'll be done, notice the principle of discretion. The principle of discretion. The picture painted in the last verses of chapter 56 is really a bleak picture of Judah. Those that were supposed to be watching were not. And we notice right away in this passage of Scripture their attributes. They were shepherds that could not understand. They were only looking for their own things, looking at their own things. They were only concerned about gain and not God. So many people today look for teachers on social media, and most of the time these people are not looking to shepherd people. They're just looking for followers. False teachers are the main theme in the epistles. Look at the letters of Paul and Peter. What was their concern? Their concern was that these false teachers look for weak Christians. They look for unstable souls that prey on them. The Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 14, having eyes full of adultery that cannot cease from sin, beguiling unstable souls and heart they have exercised with covetous practice. Cursed children. The Bible teaches us that a pastor is the watch for the souls of the people. False teachers are interested in what can build a crowd, what can bring people in. They don't care about the Word of God. They care about appeasing people. And yet, a shepherd of God preaches the Bible, whether it's in season or out of season, because they know it's the truth of the Word of God will help them. But notice the attitudes of these so-called watchers. The Bible says in verse 12, they said, let's live our life to its fullest. Let's just do what satisfies ourselves. Let's just do what we want to do. Let's just follow our own sinful heart. The Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 1, it says, but there were false prophets also among the people. Even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves swift destruction. Look at this, verse 2. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of the truth shall be evil spoken of, and through covetousness, the desire of want, shall they with feigned words, oh, they have the right words, and they're great speakers, and they're likable people. But the Bible says they're making merchandise of you. You're not a disciple to them. You're a customer. And the Bible says to have discernment and to be careful. Anyone who doesn't tell you of the danger of sin is not your friend and is not a messenger of God, and they don't care about your soul. The Bible says that many will follow their pathway and it will lead to destruction. So sad. People following a lie. And so the Bible says to be careful. Those who were supposed to be warning for sleeping. Those who were supposed to be teaching the truth were living for themselves. And the Bible says that around them were these wild beasts ready to devour. And yet no one warned them of the danger. These principles, I understand they're simplistic, they're simple. And yet I believe they are so important for the Christian life. What is God doing in your life today? No matter where you are, listen, the message of the Bible is start serving God today. Get out of the boat. Follow the Lord. Follow the truth and not how you feel. Protect yourself from false teachers who preach false doctrine. And God will bless as you follow Him in your life. If you're not a Christian today, if you don't know Jesus Christ as your Savior, the Bible teaches us that Christ died for you. He wants to give to you forgiveness of sins, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can be a Christian today. You can have that hope in your life to know your sins are forgiven and you're on your way to heaven. As you put your faith and trust in the Lord, He wants to save you today. And Christian, God help us to live a principled life. And God help us today to learn from Judah and to live our life trusting the Lord, moving forward by faith. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you so much for your word. And we're grateful for the opportunity that we have to study. And I pray, Lord, that you would help us to make good decisions.